It's 88.5 KCSN. I'm Sky Daniels, and we're very excited to have Best Coast in the studio with us. Bob are here. Welcome.
Hello. Hey, thank you.
This album was recorded at the Capitol Studios. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys feel any of the spirits in the room? Did the ambience of the room start to have an influence on the process itself?
Yeah. I mean, when we were tracking on the floor, they had it set so we could run our sounds right to the echo chamber straight away. So that definitely created a vibe. Like, it was really awesome to get to hear that.
And when you walk those hallways and see some of the photos, the great portraits of some of the artists that just created, you know, timeless records in there, I'm sure that had to give you a little bit of inspiration, too, on the way in.
It's definitely like a very bizarre feeling to go from being a band that, you know, used to record in Bob's bedroom to being a band that recorded in a studio where Judy Garland once recorded and Frank Sinatra and like people that basically created pop music, you know. It was like a big achievement. It felt really good to go into that building every day.
And I'm sure it, at the same time it gave you a sense of, you know, that there's a commitment. When you're going into a studio like that, you realize, you know what, we are blessed, as you're saying, to do it, but at the same time, okay, we have to create now because we're in a place where magic's been created. You had an able partner in that process in John Bryan. How did the connection between John and Best Coast come together?
Bob can take this one. It kind of happened through Bob, so he's better at explaining the story.
I've been friends with John for a long time, and I used to work for him, being like a roadie and stuff. And so that's how I got to know him. And then when our first record came out, he he heard it randomly just at a store, not knowing that I was in the band until he found, he asked the girl playing it who it was. It's like, oh, I think my friend Bob is in the band. And so he just told me how much he liked the record. And then one thing led to another, and he was signed on to produce it. And he was really great in the studio, just a lot of good ideas. And he has the best ear and really just kind of let us do our thing, but also reinforcing everything, like sonically, and helping with arrangements. And, you know, he could play any instrument. So if we needed something extra, he was more than willing to do it.
So going into it, you probably had a real firsthand sense of his work process, having worked as a roadie for him at one point.
Oh yeah, I used to be in the studio a lot when he was doing a bunch of records. So, you know, I knew the way he works, and I knew that he gets great results. So we were really excited when we found out we were going to record with him.
And he has good taste in food.
Yeah, really? Yeah.
Which, as we discussed earlier, is very important to Bob.
Yeah.
Food is important to both of us. Okay. We love food.
Yes, and
thank you for providing that for us. Yeah. When we got here.
It's, you know, it's a good 40-minute trek in no traffic. With traffic, who knows? You may need to be held over on the way back.
Yeah. Thank
good you. Thing we're gonna have that.
Yeah.
We want to make sure that, you know, you have something to subsist on the 405. You never know.
My car is gonna smell great when I get home.
For a change.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, Brittany, you started really young. I mean, like 13, 14?
I started playing music when I was like a little kid. My dad is a musician, and I just kind of grew up in a musical family.
And so this was pretty much...
It's kind of inevitable that I would become a musician. Like, I didn't know to this extent I would become a musician. Like, I didn't know that it would be, like, a career and that I would pay my bills by playing music and that I would never have to have a part-time job and all that kind of stuff. I just always figured I'd be, like... in band. I mean, I was always kind of like in bands and just like hung out and played music. But it was definitely like everyone in my family was always kind of like, why don't you audition for like American Idol? And why don't you do this? And I was like, because that's not really my style. But it just kind of fell into my lap. You know, it's something that I've been doing forever. And this band kind of just happened.
So how did Bethany and Bob get together? I mean, how did that all weave its way to becoming a partnership?
I was living in New York at the time, and I was going to school for creative writing, and I was focused on like on nonfiction writing, and I was writing every piece about California. And one of my professors was like, "You know, you have to write about other things." And I was just like, "I don't have anything else to write about." And I knew that at that moment I had to go back to California. I just knew that it was New York wasn't working for me, and college wasn't really working for me. And you know, I think that there are some people that do really well in school, and there are other people that you know, thrive in like the arts and things like that. And I think that I'm one of those people. And so I just wrote Bob a message, and I was like, "Hey, I'm moving back to LA this summer, and I really want to start playing music again." And, you know, I knew that we had similar interests in like the Beach Boys and the Beatles and lots of classic pop music. And I just was just like, "Would you like to hear some of the songs when I write them?" And he was like, "Sure, send them over." And then I ended up moving back like that week. I dropped out of school. And
very decisive.
Yeah, I was just like,
once he gave you the go-ahead, it's like, whoop.
I was like, "I'm done. I'm out of here." And then pretty much like 2 days after I moved back to LA, I started recording and started sending him my songs. And he said that he liked them and wanted to play on them. And that's pretty much what happened.
And I'm not sure if it were the beginnings of Best Coast, but early on in Best Coast's career, you became beneficiaries of what we like to call viral buzz. A lot of the blogs, a lot of the fanzines and stuff adopted you in a strong way, and it was really an accelerated adoption too. There was a lot of viral activity around the first record, certainly. So much so that I've been told that one of the songs on the new record, The Way They Want Me to Be, is sort of allegedly a response to some of that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's like when the record came out, when Crazy For You came out, there was a lot of positive feedback, but, you know, with positive feedback obviously comes negative feedback. And a lot of people were like, "Oh, if she would only write songs about this, and if she only were this way." And it's not even necessarily that song is definitely about like criticism, but it's also just about sort of the world and how people, there's always somebody, even if you're not a successful musician or artist or whatever, there's always somebody that wants you to be a certain way. Like, you know, if it's your parents are pushing you to do something, or your boyfriend or your girlfriend wants you to do a certain thing and it's not how you want to be. That song is really just kind of like an anthem to like being kind of like rebellious and being like, "I don't want to be how you want me to be. I want
to
be myself."
True to yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that spirit seems to come across, and it seems as if a lot of your fans recognize that, and the real fans, because, you know, one of the downsides of a quick ascent, as it were, the minute you have success, there's a lot of early adopters who go, "Okay, well, now they're not part of us anymore."
Yeah.
They're not cool anymore. Other people know about them. You know? So your real fans seem to have aligned themselves with that sensibility. I have to ask, and is it all right to ask? Because I'll ask that question before we even consider putting it on the air. The Urban Outfitters Alliance, how did that come about, and what does that mean to you, you know, when they reached out to you and talked to you about doing a line with them?
I was just asked to participate in a capsule collection with them. It was just something that my publicist asked me, like, one day randomly, like, "Would you be interested in designing a clothing line?" And as a person who loves fashion, and I actually went to school for fashion design very briefly when I first started going to school. I was interested in styling and fashion design and all this kind of stuff. You know, as a person that has a high interest in that, it's obviously something that you will say yes to.
Sure.
I mean, I always say that, like, people gave me a hard time for doing it, but I don't really care, because that's kind of a bucket list sort of thing, you know? It's like, I have my own clothing line. I see people at shows, or I've seen people walk down the street in something that I physically designed, and I think that that's really, really, really cool. And, like, you know, I said before once in an interview, like, if somebody asked Bob to do a pedal line, that's like his dream because he's obsessed with pedals. So for me, it's kind of like, I like clothes, he likes music stuff. If one day someone wanted him to make a custom guitar, I don't think he would say no. I wake up to the morning sun. I could care about someone the way I used to. When will this be done? I'm always crying on the forgive me for my sins. I didn't mean it, just wanted to win. Do you love me like you used to? No reason to complain. My feelings change, they melt away in my brain. I keep myself awake at night.